Hello, Christ Fellowship family. And let me tell you, I hope you've had an incredible Christmas weekend. It's our honor to be with you today, whether you're in your bedroom, whether you're in your living room, wherever you're at today, man, we're honored to be gathered together online as we celebrate Jesus. Today, we're going to end the year. This is the last Sunday of the year. Today, we're going to end it by taking communion. So I would encourage you to go ahead and get your cracker or bread and some juice at the end. We're going to take communion. And as we start today, it's going to be a little bit more stripped down. It's going to be a really intimate setting today. I'm really pumped because my wife is going to be teaching with me here in a few minutes. But as we start, I want us to take a moment and I want us to set our eyes on Jesus and to give thanks for who he is. He was the same before 2020. He's the same in 2020 as we ended. And let's thank him for something that happened in 2020 that was good. And so let's just set our attention right now on Jesus before we sing. Yeah, Jesus, you are incredible. You are the same on the mountaintop. You're the same in the valley low. That you are the same in a good year and you're the same in a hard year. In abundance and in little, you are the same. And so today, Lord, we choose to give you thanks. We bring you our pain and our struggle and our frustrations, but as we offer that to you, we also offer up a thanksgiving for who you are. And so I just encourage you, wherever you're at, just out loud, just tell the Lord what you're thankful for. If you're with your family, just each one go around and just say, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. It says, the scripture tells us that we enter into his courts with praise and into his presence with thanksgiving. And so, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Yahweh, the one who was, is, and always will be, we thank you for your presence. Lord, may today honor you. May it honor you. In Jesus' name.
I'm waking up to heaven. Oh, I'm waking up to you. Oh, yes. Your faithfulness, like the sunrise. Your endless love reaches past the skies. I'm waking up. It's my joy to thank you. Jesus, our victory.
Incredible truth in that song, the goodness of God in every season. Man, that's what we're going to rest in today. And man, I am so glad that you've joined us. It is my honor to be partnered with my bride here. We don't get to do this very often, so it's good to be with you today, baby. The last Sunday of 2020, and we've been praying and thinking about what God's doing, what he's saying as we transition from 2020 to 2021. And I'm so glad that we get to end it together.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
Thanks for asking me.
You're welcome. You had a special in for us.
Hey, today is your birthday.
It is.
And I wanted to take a second to honor you publicly.
Wow.
Because you honor me as your bride a lot from the stage. Your purity, your integrity, your authenticity, your honesty in the way that you lead and in the way that you love is not just evident on stage, but it's evident at home, it's evident at the office, it's evident at the football fields, it's evident on the basketball court with our kids. I honor you for that today. I would choose to sit under your leadership and under your teaching, even if I wasn't your wife.
Come on.
You feed me here, you feed me at home, and it's an honor for me to do this with you.
Man, so
happy birthday.
Thank you, baby. Getting me all teary-eyed to start with. My goodness, that was I didn't know that was going to happen. But thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Man, 2020, birthday today. Oh, so good. Man, 2020 has been filled with ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster for the world, for our nation, for many people in our church, for our own home. There's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And so I thought we'd just take a second, and I just wanted to know, what was maybe the hardest thing for you as we navigated this very, very odd year?
Yeah. You know, there's very practical things that were hard for me. Like, I didn't know if my kids were going to go to school the next week. I still don't.
Please, Jesus.
Things with them being at home and virtual school and the nuances of that were difficult. But I think what was hard for me is also what was good for me. And that was I was able to see things for what they were. And I was able to see that what I was leaning on and the things in life I was leaning on were actually quite shaky.
Mm.
And they could be taken in a second.
Yeah.
Whether that be health or finances or routine, the things that I kind of leaned to did not hold.
Mm.
I saw that in 2020.
Yeah, that's so good. I think as I look at our experience and then as I look at our church in our community, I think the hardest thing on just humanity in this season was isolation. And what I know about isolation is oftentimes when we're isolated, we tend to lean into the worst. If there's a narrative that we don't know the in-betweens, oftentimes we will lean into the worst case scenario, whether it's thinking about another person, whether it's thinking about our work or our church or whatnot. And so I think isolation, when I look at 2020, that was probably the hardest thing for us as a people. And then I think the good thing for me, and I think for our family, and hopefully for you guys at home, is that 2020 offered us a forced slowdown. You know, sometimes back at the old computers, you had to hit like three buttons and like force it to restart. I felt like 2020 was kind of that, like all like getting our fingers in different places. And then it was a forced slowdown. It was a forced simplification.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us and our family, it meant a lot more time at home, which was a good thing.
Yes.
A lot of times, not always, right? With kids and small place, it's sometimes a little challenging. But I think that was the good thing in the midst of that. And honestly, I think for the people of God, for church, for our local church, Christ Fellowship, I think the good and the hard was the fact that we, like you just said, we became aware of a lot of things that we had placed our hope in, a lot of things that we had found our joy in. Honestly, we became aware of some things that we had placed our identity in. Mm-hmm. And because so much has changed over this year and so many things have been, literally the rug's been pulled out, the light has come in and shown a lot of the things that honestly were idols in our life that we wouldn't have known otherwise. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good thing, but also it can be a little painful. Mm-hmm. It's a little, when you start seeing things for what they are, it hurts a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And so today, I want to talk about that a little bit. Kate and I, we've been praying and studying a little bit together, and I want to share a little bit of how do we not miss out on what 2020 offered us as we go into 2021. Mm-hmm. And really, the thought today is how do we steward sight? If I had a message title mm-hmm. today for Kate and I, it's how do we steward when we can see something for what it is. And today, if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to grab it. If you're at home with your kids, man, I think it's so good if you could grab your Bible, open it up with your kids, regardless of their color and if they're playing a game, if they're eating breakfast, whatever they're doing. I think it's just good for the people of God, families all over this Tri-Cities. And honestly, beyond, we got people from Colorado and Texas and California and honestly, probably all over the world joining us today. And so I'd encourage you to grab your Bible. We're going to start in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, Jesus is teaching, he's dropping some truth bombs, dropping the mic all over the place. He then has some kids that come up and he blesses the little kid and he talks about that this is where the kingdom is. And then something interesting happens, and you've probably heard this text taught before, and it can go a lot of different ways, but I want to teach something specific in this text that I think pertains to 2020 as we go into 2021. So this is chapter 19, starting in verse 16. It says, "For behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandment.' And he said to him, 'Which one?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect or be complete, go and sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me.'" Oh, I love that. Come and follow me. The simplicity of Jesus' call. "When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful." Now, remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about joy. But he says he didn't have a lot of joy. He actually chose to go a different way than Jesus. And it says in that moment, he was filled with sorrow, for he had a lot of possessions. And Jesus goes on and says to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, it is only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of God. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Now, once again, there's a lot of context to this. There's a lot of ways we could go about this story, a lot of things we could pull out of it. But there's a couple things that I want you to see in this pertaining to Jesus and how we transition from 2020 into 2021. The first thing I'd love for you to write down is that it is one of the most loving things that God can do when he shows us our need, when he reveals our weakness, when he shows us our shortcomings. Because in that revelation of our need, we actually see him as our provision. And I think 2020 has shown us some of our need. It's shown us some of the areas in our life where honestly we've had sin sitting and not dealt with it. We've had things that we placed our expectations in that were going to leave us empty. And so in that, I think it's actually one of the most loving things God could do is show us that. And I was thinking back about football. You mentioned about courts and basketball. I get the basketball coach or coach my kids basketball. And I remember one time I was in eighth grade, and I was running for football, and one of the coaches yelled at me, "Harden, get on your toes, run on your toes." I was running kind of flat-footed, and I wasn't as fast, and so he said, "Run on your toes," and it literally changed how I ran in that one moment. Like, that's how quick one moment can happen, and changed how I ran, and honestly, it got me to where I got a lot faster, and he did that, honestly, because he wanted what was best for me. He was showing me a weakness in order that I could actually get better. And I think that's what God does for us. And honestly, I think that's what 2020 has done. It's revealed some areas of our life. And what we see in this rich young ruler is that he had everything he needed, or at least he thought he had everything. He said, I've done all these things. And I don't want us to get hung up on the rich as in monetary money, but what this term means is he had abundance. And what I know in my own life, it's really hard for me to receive when I perceive that I don't have a need. It's really hard for me to receive when I perceive that I don't have a need. And so one of the gifts that I think 2020 has given us is that we've recognized a need. We've recognized that, man, my life was way more fragile than I realized. The things that I put my hope in are way less confident and less secure. And so I think it's actually been a gift that 2020 has given us that we recognize our need. And the next step, though, is once we see that, is then we have to decide. And so in this moment, this man saw his need, but he decided to walk away, and there was much sorrow in that.
Yeah, just as you were speaking there, an analogy came to mind of, you know, in football, gosh, look at me, I'm turning into you.
Come on. That's scary.
Oh, using a football analogy, but it's like 2020 is like studying film. And there's a lot that you can't recognize when you're game time and when you're doing something. It feels right. You're just making those quick decisions. But when you go back later and you watch film, you see yourself. And you see what you did right and what you did wrong. And you have coaches pointing it out to you. I feel like that's what 2020 was. We've gone into that dark room and we're watching film. And now what are we going to do with that next time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. That's why I married you. So good. So good.
So also, like Derek said, we come to a point where we have to decide. Once we see what's true, once we see what's failing, what's working, what's not, then we have a decision to make. Are we going to go this way or this way? Are we going to continue what we were doing, or are we going to change and shift for the next year? And I think we see this in David. When Derek and I were kind of talking about this message, David is who came to mind. And I love David, the warrior poet. It feels like home to me in the Psalms because he is so honest. And when he felt something, he really felt it. And he not only felt it, but he shared it. He said it. He always said what was true. And in 2 Samuel, we see David and Nathan. And I want to stop right there for a second and encourage us first. We need to be praying for Nathans in our lives. Nathan was a prophet who prayed for David. And not only that, he heard from God on David's behalf. And so Nathan had heard from the Lord about David, and then he had the gumption to go and share it with David. And what's beautiful about this, and me being the literary lover that I am, God told Nathan what to tell David through a story. And David was able to see himself in the story. And we see Jesus doing this as well with the parables. So story is very important. Fiction is very important. And so even what's fake, what's fiction can tell us what's true. And that's what happened with Nathan and David. And I'm not going to read the story. I'm going to paraphrase real quick. But David basically had stolen another man's wife and had that man killed. And Nathan comes, tells him this story. David recognizes himself in it. And the first thing David says to Nathan after he realizes his sin is, I have sinned against the Lord. He immediately said it. He confessed what was true. After he saw it. And so David was given the gift of seeing his sin, and his response set the tone for the next season of his life. And we even see in Psalm 51 where David says, give me a clean heart. Return a right spirit. Put a right spirit within me. And so David had a decision to make after he spoke with Nathan and heard from God through that. And his decision was, I'm going to confess what is true. I'm going to address and acknowledge what is true. And I'm going to give that to the Lord.
So how does that pertain to 2020? So as we've had this revelation, some of the things that you've even said that you recognize, how do we go about applying this biblical truth in 2020 as we go to 2021?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So the first thing, and we can go to James for this, is after we see, after we decide that we're going to go the way of the Lord, after we confess what is true, then we have to hear and then go do what we hear. And so just for our church and for anybody that's listening, get with God on this. You've been in the film room through 2020, and now you're confessing, oh, I'm seeing that. I'm seeing this sin. I'm seeing this sin. Or I'm seeing where I'm weak here. And it's not a condemning feeling. It's not a guilt-ridden feeling. It's a freedom feeling when you bring something out and up. And even if it's just to God or just in a journal or just in prayer, there's freedom in that. So it should never feel condemning. It should maybe feel a little convicting, but not condemning. And so in James, I'm going to read from James 1. It's going to be verses 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So we are able to gain information about ourselves and gain information about God and gain information about the world, and we have the choice to let it just sit there, or we can pertain it, and we can ask the Lord, what do I do with this? This is what's true about me. This is what I've done. This is what I'm thinking. This is what's been hard. This is what has failed. What do I do with this now in 2021? And so I feel like 2020 also was a mirror moment. You know, where we got to really see ourselves and really got to see the state of our nation and our world.
Yeah, I think that's so good. You know, so many, I think, church leaders, you know, we thought about 2020 and immediately we're like, we're going to get perfect vision. Come on, somebody say, preach that. We're going to have perfect vision. We're going to have vision casting all year long. It's going to be incredible. But then the pandemic hit, and honestly, a lot of pastors are scratching their head and saying, what do we do now? What we thought was going to be the vision that we had and we're going to cast, it's going to look a lot different. And I actually think as we end 2020, it actually was the year of vision. Like you said, I love that analogy. We got in the film room and the Lord took us in there and he said, hey, I want you to see some things in your life. I want you to see even for the life of the church. That's why I spent some time talking about from glory to glory that I think the Western church has become a lot of things and maybe not all of those things aligned with what God desired us to be. And so God took a situation, and I honestly don't believe God caused this, but I do believe that God is in the midst of it, and he's working it for our good. This is what the scriptures tell us in Romans. And so in the midst of this, God is using 2020, the challenges, the unemployment, the political unrest, the racial unrest, and all of that, he is giving us a mirror to see ourselves. Mm-hmm. He's taking us into the film room. Mm-hmm. And he's showing us, hey, here's some areas of your life that I want to put my finger on, not to condemn you, but to lift you up, to get your head up and to move forward. And so as much as maybe we wanted 2020 to get over, I think 2020 is a gift from God. I think it's a gift to his bride, the church, that we've seen things that we can't unsee now, that we've learned things, we've recognized things that he wanted to show us all along. And so as we think about 2020 ending, I want us to think about 2021, and I believe what the Lord has for us in 2021 is now that we've seen, we're in the midst of making decisions, just like the rich young ruler, just like David, now we're in a season where am I going to align with the new thing that God's doing or not? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you have a choice, your family has a choice, we have a choice, I personally have a choice as the lead pastor of this church, as a father, as a husband, as an employee, we all have a choice in 2021, now that we see, to decide and then align. And there was this phrase that kept coming to me just as we were preparing for today. It was this: God isn't looking for theological agreement. He is looking for fellowship with followers who yield to his leading. He's not looking for you to agree with him. Let me tell you, there are demons, the enemy himself, Satan. He understands who God is, honestly, better than you and I do. So he's not looking for theological agreement. He's not looking for some, you know, agreement in our mind. He is after fellowship with you. That's what the whole year we've been talking about, fellowship. And in that fellowship, he's looking for a people that won't just be hearers of the word like we just heard, not just be seers of the reality, but we would actually take what we see, take what we hear from the Lord, and we would actually move forward in faith to align ourselves with what he's doing. And honestly, I think that is what 2021 is going to look like. That's what the Lord is inviting us into, a year of alignment, where we run to Jesus, that we choose to lay down some of the things that we picked up along the way in our families, in our churches, in our businesses, and we choose to be in deep fellowship with the Lord. And we'll be doers and not just hearers, just like the scriptures tell us. And so, man, I'm so excited about 2021. I'm so grateful for 2020. And maybe just today you take some time and say, man, can I even get to the place where I'm thankful for 2020? You know, one of the crazy things about 2020, for some of us, it was a really good year, honestly. I've talked to some people this week that 2020, the most income they've ever had, you know, the best breakthrough, whatever. But also in 2020, some of us have had the worst year. I got dear friends that have lost both parents. I've got other friends that have lost work and lost employment and trying to figure out things. And so it's this chasm, like we sang at the beginning, the mountaintop and the valley low, you are the still God, and I'm going to sing to you and I'm going to praise you. And so I think maybe today, you and the Lord just talk and say, can I get to a place in my heart, in my spirit, where I can tell you thank you? And I think as we end 2020 with a thank you, I think it sets us up for what he has for us in 2021. And so as we close 2020 as a people, as a community, I want us to do two things. We're going to take communion, and then Kate, I'm going to ask her to just pray over our church. For what God has in store for us this next year, the incredible things, better than we can ask or imagine. But before we do that, I want to take communion. So if you're home, just go ahead and grab a piece of bread there or a cracker and get you some juice or some wine, whatever you got around. It's really a posture of your heart in this moment, not really what your elements you're taking. And as I was thinking about this, I really wanted to end the year. This was actually not planned to do this today. But as I was praying about what the Lord would have us do as we end the year, I really felt like he wanted us to end the year remembering. This is why we take communion, is that we could remember who he is and remember what he's done. And so as we take the bread today, as we hold this up, today I want us to remember that Jesus understands where you're at. That's so much more profound than we give it credit for, that the Hebrew writer says that he was made like us in every way so that he could be a compassionate high priest, that he had temptation, that he had struggles, that he gave himself fully to humanity, and in that, he understands what you're going for. And so as we take this bread, whatever 2020 came at you with, whatever 2020 left you hurting in some pain, or if 2020 was good to you and you had some great breakthrough, I want you to hold up this bread today, and I want us to think about how Jesus understands. Think about that. This, everybody that's watching this, thousands of people are going to be watching this at some point, that wherever you're at right now in this moment, Jesus understands where you're at. He understands the road you're on. He understands your ups and your downs. He understands the darkness and the light in your life. He understands you. And so today we take this and remember that Christ stepped out of heaven and he became a man and submitted himself fully to a human body, to a human existing, and he walked perfectly related to the Father, sinless. And then he gave up his life on the cross, and his body hung on a cross, and he breathed his last breath, and he yielded his spirit to the Father. Let's take this today and remember that Christ came and that he understands and he's with us even today. And as I was thinking about this juice here, it symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. And really why I felt like the Lord was just prompting me to take communion today is I think we need to just declare that everything that happened in 2020 is under the blood of Jesus. Everything that happened in 2020, it is under the blood of Jesus. And so the blood of Jesus is what it's what makes us whole. It's what was the payment for our sin. Now you have been bought at a price. This is what the scriptures tell us. So the blood of Jesus is so incredible. And what I want you to know, if you are a follower of Jesus, his blood has covered you. It is covering you now. It's through his blood that you have access to the Father. You don't have to come in timid and scared, but you can come in with confidence. And so today, I want you to think about 2020, and I want you to think about the worst thing that happened to you in 2020. You don't have to say it out loud. We're not going to say it out loud, but think about the worst thing that happened in 2020 to you personally, to your family, maybe something that happened in the community, maybe it's a national thing. What is the worst possible thing that happened in 2020? And as you're thinking about that, I just want you to declare and give thanks that the blood of Jesus covers that thing. So Jesus, all over these Tri-Cities and around this country and beyond, we just proclaim your blood that is powerful. Your blood is still as powerful today as it was the day it dripped off your body at the cross. It still brings us to life. It still washes us clean. And Lord, it's by your blood that we confess that we are yours. So Lord, we submit 2020 to you, and we give you thanks, and we declare your body and your blood over it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take and drink and remember his blood. Yeah, Lord, thank you so much for teaching us to remember you, to set our eyes on you today. Lord, I pray that we would continue to feast on you. Oh my goodness, may we see you rightly as we wrap up this year and as we head into 2020. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. As we close out here today, I'm gonna ask my bride to just speak maybe a few words over our church and then just spend some time praying us out of here and then we'll wrap up.
Just as Derek was doing communion, I was writing down a few things I just felt like the Lord was saying, and I could have done that prior, but I'd like to be in the moment doing that. And the first thing that just came to mind as Derek was speaking and I was praying, I just was seeing all the faces of our church, and nobody's really here now, but just seeing your faces in the seats. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, they have no idea how much I love them. And it was such a sweet feeling. He's so sweet towards you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter what you've been through, if you've known him for 5 minutes, if you've known him for 50 years, he's so sweet towards you and loves you lavishly. And he wants us to operate out of the truth of that. Going along with that, we are the beloveds of God. And when we stand our lives on that truth, it will ripple out into everything. We won't feel like we have to be someone else. We won't feel like we have to be the highest earner. We won't feel like we have to dress a certain way or put on a certain front or present something that's false. When we are operating in the truth that we are the beloveds of God, there will be so much peace. And there will be so much freedom. There will be so much joy. And then I feel like 2021, with what we've seen, what we've learned about ourselves, about the church, about the world, we will be returning to our first love. And there will be, that won't be an awful strain. It will be a joy. Because we will find satisfaction in that, and we will find satisfaction there. And then also, kind of the theme this week, kind of between you and I, what we've been talking about, is that we have seen that we've put our faith in things that are feeble. And so in 2021, that we would continue to have those eyes, that we would continue to be able to see what we're putting our faith in that won't stand up. And then I feel like I'm supposed to pray over the church for authenticity, for depth, for the big C church, not just our church, but and honesty. So let me just pray over you all. God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you're acquainted with everything we go through and that you're present always. I pray that that your presence would be felt, that it would be tangible to us in 2021. God, I pray that the church would rise up in 2021, that it would be what you had in mind. God, I pray that we would return to you. And I pray, God, that nothing else would satisfy, that we've seen that we would remember that. God, help us to not put our faith in things that are feeble and that are broken, but help us to turn to you and stand on your truth. God, I just pray authenticity over believers all over the world. I pray for transparency. I pray for a depth of faith. God, that the days of shallow believing are done, because we've seen that shallow roots do not stand. They do not produce anything. So God, I pray that that we would be a people of depth in faith and that it would stand up. God, I pray that there would be an honesty across the church. I pray, Lord, that there would be a humbleness across the church. Continue to undo what needs undone. Reweave what needs reweaving in the church as a whole, but also in us as individuals. God, I pray that you would continue to speak. I pray that you would perk our ears to it and really widen our eyes to what you're doing in 2021, and that we would not just see it and not just hear it, but that we would join you. I thank you that Derek and I get to minister together. I pray that you would continue to feed us and continue to feed through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm going to just pray one thing with that. Lord, I pray, as I often do, that you would teach us to be a people that hear you. Lord, would you, in 2021, continue to allow us to be a people of big ears, that we hear from you. And Lord, I pray that our heart to obey would increase, not out of duty, not out of religion, but because we've been so captivated by you and your presence. And so, Lord, would you mark us with your presence? May we experience you and know you in a new and fresh way as we head into this new year. And may we know that we are yours, like Kate said, that we are yours, and that changes everything. And so, Lord, I bless 2021. Lord, I bless Christ's fellowship in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are excited to partner with you in what you're doing to see your kingdom come in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. We love you, Jesus. Amen.